Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Hey guys, Bianca here. Just wanted to let you all know that we have set up a Buy Me a Coffee account. What is Buy Me a Coffee? Well, it's a platform where you can donate as little as the cost of a coffee to our podcast. Your donation will go towards the running costs of this podcast. Our goal is to reach $480, which is the yearly cost of our platform host, Buzzsprout. You can find the link to our Buy Me a Coffee page on all our socials. So Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and Instagram. And also on our blog, www.fridaynightwinefight.blogspot.com or at www.buymeacoffee.com/FNWF podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Now on with the show.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Amy.
I'm Bianca.
And I'm Sarah. We are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than to start a podcast. We're all living La Vida, locked down. And I don't know where we are now. We're in some kind of limbo.
Yeah.
So we take aim at one topic each week with a bottle or three of wine or whatever else we have or are allowed to drink.
Doctor allows her to drink.
Yes. What my doctor allows me to drink, which is nothing. And we try to make some sense of it. Right, ladies, what are we drinking?
I am cracking into a bottle of A&R Shiraz Darif. And A&R is sort of like the side brand of Boy Meets Girl, which I drink quite a bit on this show. And this was a free bottle I got from my pyramid scheme. And I opened it thinking, this is going to be gross because I don't like Darif.
No, we don't like Darif.
No. And I don't really like Shiraz. So I was thinking, good, this will slow me down. I will not be barreling through this bottle.
Yeah.
Podcast. I was wrong. It's delicious.
Yeah.
All right. It's trapping me.
Right. I think I'm going to have to see if I can get a bottle just to try it, unless it comes as a free one, and then we'll see.
Sold out. As soon as I opened it just before and I took a sip and I went, holy shit, this is delicious. I just checked my app and, yeah, all sold out. So we'll have to keep an eye on that one.
Yeah. All right. I'm drinking a soft and smooth Cab Merlot. It's not soft or smooth. And so I've got my wine Osmera, and that actually makes it so much better.
Good.
Yes. That fixes everything. Listeners, if you ever get a red and it's the worst, just get a wine Osmera. Check our blog. I've already put it in. I've put it in there before and with links of where to buy it. So, yeah, definitely get one. Well worth the investment.
Aerator, not an Osmera. That's just what we call it.
Yeah. I forget people don't always speak our language.
No, they don't, mate. They're getting there. Our fans are getting there. But, yeah, we have to remember to,
use the proper words.
You know, the words.
The real words, yeah. So this week I'm not drinking. As my doctor has told me, Sarah, you're not allowed to drink anymore. So I'm just going to take a break from drinking for now.
And that's totally fine.
And that is fine.
You can't do that.
I'm most sad about the cheese because
I'm also
as a lactose intolerant person, I shouldn't eat cheese and I love cheese.
Yeah, that's another thing I'm not allowed to eat anymore.
Yeah.
But just for now, hopefully.
Yeah.
Once we work out what's wrong with me, then we'll see. So for now, I'm drinking Jesus juice, which is just plain water. I may at some point start drinking deconstructed wine, but
only Victorians will know that.
Yeah, a handful of grapes and a bowl of water. Yeah.
And you kind of mix them all in your mouth at once, and then wow, wine.
You got to hold it in your mouth for a couple of weeks though for it to ferment. So good luck with that.
Yeah. Anyway, Bianca.
Nope.
Is it Bianca? Amy.
Nope.
Amy. Shit, I don't even Surprise. Know who is doing what. Amy, what is our topic?
Well, tonight, in honor of Halloween, this year we thought we would take aim at haunted things, not houses, stuff.
Yeah.
Things. No matter where they go or who owns them, strange happenings tend to follow. Yeah. When you think about it, the propensity for objects, not just houses, to be haunted is enormous. We have artifacts in museums and in private collections that are thousands of years old. Logic would say that if a spirit or ghost or whatever you want to call it can be attached to a house or a building or even a place, it doesn't actually have to have a dwelling on it, surely they can be attached to an inanimate object, right?
Yeah.
Surely. Surely this is the thing. So we thought we would have a look. In my research preparing for this topic, I stumbled across an article by the New York Times which discussed items on eBay which claimed to be haunted. This intrigued me a lot. So the article had heaps of screenshots of items on eBay which the owner claimed to be haunted. Intrigued, I decided to have a look. I went fuzzy tail deep, people.
Oh, what?
Here's where I went. Here's where it went wrong, though. I typed haunted into the search bar on eBay, and well, dumbass, it's October, and it's Halloween season. Every item on eBay has something to do with Halloween.
Well done.
So everything is described as haunted. Everything. Yeah. I just got all of eBay. All of it.
All
in the one search. Yep. Interestingly enough, though, I did manage to find many haunted porcelain spirit vessel dolls, which to the average person just look like a regular porcelain doll. Yeah. These fetched up to about $100 on eBay.
Yeah.
The article that I read, though, mentioned rings and interesting jewelry that claimed to be owned by witches or other interesting people.
Lord Sauron.
I don't know. Spirit Masters were one that came up quite a bit. So, yeah.
Oh, God.
Anyway, alas, I couldn't find anything that interesting. On the items I did find, though, many were porcelain dolls or haunted spirit vessels, as they're called.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay, sure. And I did notice, a funny thing, though, that the seller was not accepting returns. Funny that. Because surely, if you got this haunted spirit vessel, and it wasn't a haunted spirit vessel, it was just a plain old porcelain doll, you'd be annoyed and you'd want your money back, right?
But yes, that's funny because, like, if you look on Etsy, there's a lot of the same thing. There's haunted porcelain dolls and stuff like that. There's no returns. Like, you can return it because it's, yeah. So that's interesting that the most people on eBay are like, no returns.
Oh, yeah, no returns. Because, well, obviously, if it's not haunted, you want your money back. And then if it is haunted and starts doing Chucky shit, then obviously you just want to get rid of it, right? I did actually have another quick look before coming on today, and I did find an interesting doll that just looked like a baby doll, but its eyes were blacked out and it had some weird writing on it. And the seller claims that he or she, I don't actually know, got it in a bunch of stuff that they got in inheritance. And since then, they have had some other interesting occurrences. They don't know what the writing is on the back of the doll.
Ooh.
And weird stuff's been happening. And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, this seller has like four items which are similar in nature, but also claims to be a procurer of items that have a spirit within them. And this spirit was not playing well with the other spirits in the house. And I'm just like, right. I'm a bit of a skeptic, as you guys will probably know by now. So
to me, that checks out. Like,
other people who delve in these sorts of things, they probably go, oh, yeah, I feel that. I feel that. Yeah. Maybe the porcelain doll does not play with the Spider-Man action figure I got when I was six. They don't play well together. Not,
no.
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 Yeah. I don't really dive into that sort of stuff. But anyway, check out eBay, guys, for haunted items. Maybe wait until after October, though, because it is.
Or Etsy. Yeah. Or Etsy.
Yeah. Anywhere where you find your secondhand goods. All right. So I'm going to jump straight into my segment for tonight. And I had a bit of a look around and I found a item which I briefly remember the story about when I looked at this once upon a time. And I decided, yes, this is what I'm doing. So I'm going to take aim at James Dean's car.
I love this. I don't know very much other than little tidbits. So I'm so keen to hear what you found.
Yes, this was me too. So, okay, let me just jump straight in. So James Dean purchased and pimped out a car. Yes, pimped out. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying because I'm an old person and, yeah, pimped out is my choice of phrase for this. Yeah. So he pimped out a car. The car was a Porsche 550 Spider. Sorry if I've said that wrong.
I'm so really, nice. Yes. Yeah.
I'm not a car person, but it's real hot. If you don't know much about cars, it's a hot little thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Dean purchased the car a week before his untimely death in 1955. Dean took the car to a mate, George Barris, to have it personalised. It was then that Dean decided to name the car Little Bastard, which was painted on the back of the car. As it turns out, it was in fact a little bastard. Yeah. So while driving the car around Los Angeles, Dean met up with a British actor, quite famous British actor of the time, Alec Guinness, outside of a restaurant. Now, Dean showed off his new purchase to a very superstitious Guinness, who expressed his worries about the car straight away. In Guinness's unpublished diary, he wrote, "The sports car looks sinister to me, exhausted, hungry, feeling a little ill-tempered in spite of Dean's kindness. I heard myself saying in a voice that I could hardly recognize as my own, 'Please never get in it. If you get in that car, you will be found dead by this time next week.'" Creepy. Oh,
people who are empaths and spiritually, even people who don't know that they're spiritually inclined, that, oh, my God, I got chills.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He just took one look at this car. But then again, okay, if you want to break this down into logic, which is what I did, I probably would have said something similar because – it was James Dean. He was an actor, a race car driver, and a playboy at the time. And he was quite young. And this car was a hot little thing that looks like he was going to wrap it around a tree.
Yeah. Isn't James Dean part of the 27 Club?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yes. Yes, he is. Sorry. Yep. Sarah said yes.
You probably would have taken one look at this car, one look at James Dean, and went, "Oh, dude, you're going to kill yourself. Stop it."
Exactly.
So, I mean, maybe you got a vibe? Don't know. Anyway, apparently Dean just laughs this off. 1 week later, Dean and his posse were getting the car ready for a racing weekend and decided to drive the car to the race venue instead of putting on it a track because they believed that the new engine needed to be run in and Dean needed to really familiarize himself with the car. There were a few cars that made up the convoy driving down highways en route to the race venue, and they were stopped by police on the way for speeding. At approximately 5:15 p.m., a 23-year-old student made a left turn on a highway, and Dean, who was traveling about 136 kilometers an hour, which is 85 miles for our American friends, hit the student's car head on. Dean was pronounced dead on arrival at the hospital. His passenger survived, but barely. Yet, strangely enough, the student that they collided with walked away from the accident without a single injury.
What? Yeah.
I will put up photos of the wreckage on the blog, so stay tuned for that. But once you have a look, you'll be like, oh, my God, this is crazy. So it was just a stroke of luck that the student actually was not injured at all. The car's reign of terror did not stop there. Now, this is a long story, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to run through it in dot points.
Yep.
Okay.
Sounds good.
So the guy who pimped out Little Bastard bought the car, despite it being a total wreck, and he was going to transport it back to his shop. When they were trying to put it on the truck, it slipped off the truck and broke the leg of a mechanic.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
This dude sold some of the parts from Little Bastard to two race drivers who took separate parts, put them in separate cars, and entered the same race. Mm-hmm. One driver lost control, slammed into a tree, and he died instantly.
Oh, my God.
The other had his tyres locked up for no reason, and he flipped the car. He survived, though. Yeah. Okay, so it gets worse. Like, just hold on. Okay. So two tyres were sitting in the dude who bought the wreckage. They were sitting in his garage. And they were just sitting there and both of them exploded. They were just sitting there and somebody decided to purchase them. Now, the guy that pimped out the car was just like, okay, I'll sell them. We'll see how they go. Selling tires from a wreckage is not really a smart idea, but he decided to do it anyway. So this dude attached them to a car and both of them exploded simultaneously. And the driver was run off the road. He also survived.
That's bizarre. Okay, maybe because they were from an accident, so it could have been thin in a certain spot, but both?
Yeah, well, see, this is the thing. Selling bits of car off wreckages is probably not a smart idea, especially when it comes to the tyres. And once you have a look at the pictures of this wreckage, you might think, okay. Anyway, so by now this dude was convinced the car was cursed. So he planned to hide it. That's what he planned to do. Californian Highway Patrol personnel convinced him to let them use the car for their safety exhibit. The first exhibit was unsuccessful as the garage that housed the car caught fire and burned to the ground. But Little Bastard was not any further damaged, though. Obviously, still a wreckage, obviously, like damaged.
Oh, my God.
But was not damaged from the fire, though.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I can't even.
There's more. The second exhibit was at a high school, and Little Bastard actually fell off its display and broke a student's hip.
What?
Right, there's another one. So at a later date, a truck driver was hauling Little Bastard on a flatbed truck and was killed when Little Bastard fell on him after he was thrown from the truck in another accident. I was trying to figure out how this works because if it's on a flatbed truck, how does it fall off the truck if the driver has been thrown in an accident? Because you tend to be thrown forward and not behind. So I was thinking about it and I thought, oh, maybe there's just not enough detail here. So he may have been thrown from the truck during an accident, went to check on the car, and then as he was walking around the car, it's fallen off and,
fucking hell.
Thrown from the truck as the truck spun. And,
maybe. Another
spin through accidents as well.
Just another bizarre sort of thing. Anyway, it was reported that mishap after mishap continued until 1960 when the wreckage of Little Bastard was on loan to a safety exhibit in Miami. Following the exhibit, the wreckage and the truck hauling it were en route to LA. They mysteriously vanished en route. Both the truck and the car gone.
Wow.
In 2005, $1 million reward was offered for information for the whereabouts of Little Bastard, but no one came forward.
Oh, that's fucked.
So if you ever thought you had bad luck with cars, I dare say this story tops whatever's happened to you. Yeah.
I'm going to say
Haunted or are really unlucky. Like, I feel like you can debunk a lot of what has gone on here, but it's just the series of mishaps. It's just, is it really unlucky or haunted? We will never know. So, yeah.
No, because the car's gone. Oh, my God. That is just, that's creepy as shit.
Yeah. That's government conspiracy right there.
Yeah.
They have the car locked up somewhere. Area 51,
I bet.
Yeah.
Or it's sitting in some multi-billionaire's freaking car collection somewhere that no one knows about in their private collection.
Like Nick Cage or something. He did own a dinosaur at one point.
Right. As you do. Dinosaurs,
Yeah. Well, he owned a dinosaur because he bought it off Leonardo DiCaprio. It's a whole thing.
There you go. It's probably floating around the inner circles of the Hollywood elite, I dare say, in private collections.
Yeah. Because who knows? These people got more money than sense. Like,
absolutely. All right, Bianca, what have you got?
Okay, so tonight I have the Devil's Rocking Chair. That's right, listeners, it's time for another Conjuring story, because you know how I love that. But first, I accidentally debunked the story of Robert the Doll. So originally this topic, haunted things, was actually suggested by my daughter. And she requested that one of us cover the Devil's Tree, which we then delegated to Sarah. And so, yes, thank you to my daughter for this topic and Sarah's topic.
thank you. You're going to hate me.
Yeah. And then, yeah, she's also going to hate me because, yeah, she gave me Robert the Doll as well. So I started looking into it. So originally, right, so some of the stories behind this doll was that the particular family that it was given to, the person that gave it to the child was actually this voodoo priest, and they cursed it, and that's how they got cursed, and all this shit happened apparently.
This dude molested the doll. Yes. See, Sarah and I are on the same wavelength then. Bloody Maleficent into the doll.
Yeah. So apparently, right, voodoo curse and all the rest of it. Okay. So upon my investigation of Robert the Doll, so there's this thing called science magic. If you haven't heard of it, go back to a previous episode. So they've taken bits of the cloth, bits of the innards, bits of just little bits of it, tested it for its age, because you can do that. So, so the article I read was from 2015. It was 111 years old at that stage, so it's 117 years old now. They traced it back to the same German doll maker that made Teddy Roosevelt's teddy bear.
Oh.
So, no, was not made by voodoo fucking priest, was not cursed by voodoo priest. No, it actually comes from a doll maker.
Unless they were a voodoo priest. Maybe they were a voodoo priest. I don't know.
In Germany?
Maybe. They had gypsies. Maybe it was like a... I don't know. I don't know why I'm theorizing here. Gypsy keep going. Curse? I don't know.
I debunked it, mate. So, yeah, it comes from this German doll maker. Originally was made for a shop window. So it was part of a marionette set. So it was various clown type dolls in this shop window, and they're
looks creepy.
Yeah. So they're children sized dolls. So it is wearing a children's outfit, and the outfit that it is wearing today is the original owner, which his name was Robert Eugene something. I can't remember their last name, but everyone called him Gene. So yes, the doll was named Robert and the person was named Robert. Yeah, so there's nothing, there's actually nothing. None of the stories are true. Yeah, and then the museum curator, the particular person has looked after it for many, many years now. So it's currently housed in, I can't remember the museum in Florida, but the curator who looks after it, she takes out of his case regularly because Florida is quite humid and stuff. It actually gets weighed regularly to make sure the original hay inside hasn't degraded because of the humidity. So it's actually moved and touched quite often. So if it was haunted, there would be more things. But like she says, she gets up to, she reckons she gets about anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 letters and emails a year of people apologizing for upsetting Robert, because people come to the museum and they take pictures without asking permission and they poke fun at him, and then something bad will happen to them. I'm sorry, that's just life.
Yeah, that's life,
bad things
mate.
Happen to you. Yeah, so people will actually write letters apologizing, and which is crazy. Some people will leave him presents like sweets. Some people send sweets. Some people leave him joints.
Hey.
Yep. That's a thing. Yep. People go like into our museum. Like it's a proper museum. It's not some sort of haunted museum. It's an actual proper museum because of its age. It is a relic from that time. Like there's not many things still made from that one German doll maker. I mean, this is where the teddy bear came from. So yeah, we didn't call those bears teddy bears until Theodore Roosevelt got his teddy bear. So, yeah, you know, for that history alone, it is a historical figure, and I think that's really cool. Sorry it's not haunted.
Sorry about it.
Yeah, in 2015 there was a movie made called Robert, yeah, about all the strange goings-on. Yeah, it's all fake. Yeah, you're welcome to watch it. It's probably absolute shit, but, yeah.
Watch the one called Rubber about a tire named Robert.
Exactly. So much more entertaining. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So with moving on from that, I'm going to go back to the Devil's Chair because this is one that I couldn't debunk. And, yeah, it stars our two favourite people, yeah, the Warrens. They are involved in this, and it was a movie that came out last year. So, yes.
Of course they are. Yeah.
Yeah. So, the Devil's Rocking Chair. It is of known origin. It is of unknown origin, but was passed on to the Glatzel family in the early 1950s. It was simply a piece of household furniture until the summer of 1980. So from the 90s, so for 30 years, nothing fucking happened. Okay. Yeah. So, look, I'm not going to say, this is debunked, but 30 years of a single piece of furniture being with a single family and nothing happening, and then all of a sudden 1980, something happening. I don't know. Anyway. Right. So in summer of 1980, it became the center of a tragedy that struck the family. The sinister relic became a part of one of America's most notorious exorcisms, which involved two demonic possessions and an eventual murder. It is believed that the chair quite literally was cursed by the devil. I don't believe that, but anyway.
Right.
The horror began in July of 1980 when David Glatzel, 11 years old, became possessed by a demon. One night he woke up screaming, claiming that he had been visited by a man with big black eyes, a thin face with animal features, jagged teeth, pointed ears, horns and hooves. So David was, as everyone agreed, not the kind of kid who liked scary movies or who is likely to make things up. He was very visibly shaken by this experience. So that alone made people go, oh, maybe, you know, what's going on here? After that, like, he became very withdrawn and quiet. His older sister, Debbie, asked her fiance, Arnie Johnson, if he would stay with the family for a while and see whether it would help David get out of his depression. I'm just going to take a sip of wine. My mouth is dry. So Arnie, of course, agreed, right? Yeah, because he's like, come in. If it bleeds, we can kill it. So, yeah, he comes in and things didn't get better, right? David reported more nightmares about the terrifying man who promised to take his soul. And odd scratches and bruises began to appear on the boy. And all the injuries seemed to happen while he was asleep. And like I wholeheartedly believe this could have happened because I've seen this happen in real life. Yeah, so I totally believe that, yep, a demon could have done that. Bruises, scratches, absolutely. For Amy, that's just a drunk night. Wake up, what the fuck did I do?
I was going to say that's just a vigorous nightmare for me. I've often woken up with freaking defensive wounds, and yet I'm the only person in the house. So, yeah.
It's just you stumbling back to bed. We know that.
Yeah, or swinging my arms around wildly while I'm sleeping. Yeah.
Yeah. So while Arnie was there, odd sounds, which he couldn't explain, were heard in the attic. And worst of all, David began to claim that he was now seeing the beast while he was awake. Right? He was sitting in the family's rocking chair, which the beast now claimed as his own. But the family members often saw it rocking back and forth, seemingly under its own power. And that shit creeps my shit out. Nope. I'm out. The family first bought over a priest to bless the house. As you do, you get an old priest and a young priest and some holy water. Yeah, it didn't help. In fact, it made things worse. The sounds in the attic actually got louder. David's visions increased and he began to hiss at his family and speak with multiple voices.
Puberty's a bitch, I tell you.
Yeah. Right? And weirdly, real weird, he started to quote lines or paragraphs from Paradise Lost. And it's a book like that most 11-year-olds, they're not familiar with Paradise Lost at all. I'm not even familiar with it other than it's an adult book, not a children's book.
I know the show Paradise Lost, and that was, I think that was a true crime one. But, yeah, no, I don't know the book.
Yeah. Yeah, me either. So during the night, someone had to actually stay up with David, who woke every 30 minutes, sometimes having seizures. So desperate for help, the Glatzels called in Ed and Lorraine Warren. Welcome back
in. Not a fucking doctor. No, not a fucking doctor. The kid is clearly having some fucking medical issues going on, but no, must be possessed by the devil. Well, of course.
They were having supernatural events. What's the doctor going to do?
Fucking hell.
Yeah, doctors generally only make it worse.
Yeah, what are they going to do? Take some aspirin. He'll be fine.
No, they don't have any like science or technology or any research on, you know, these sorts of things, people having seizures or any medical conditions like epilepsy or anything like that.
All right. Well, and Lorraine, right? They began making regular visits to the home, bringing more priests with them and performing exorcisms. Many of those exorcisms took place while David was seated in the rocking chair. Two birds, one stone, you know. The chair itself moved about the house on its own, mysterious, disappearing and reappearing in different places. Most incredibly.
It likes to follow the sun like a cat.
That's a good point. That's probably why all the hissing.
Exactly. At no point, rocking chair, no one took it outside and set fire to it. That would have been the first thing I did.
No, oh, no, just grabbed an axe. No, it smashed up. Smashy, smashy Eggman. Yep.
Yeah,
some sort of like wood chipper, just throw it in there like Fargo.
That bitch, yeah.
And then next thing you know, it's back in the house, fully reassembled, and you're like, well.
At that point, you've got me. Then you've sold me this is weird shit. But until then, no.
Well, it also levitated on numerous occasions in full view of witnesses. So multiple people at the same time saw it levitate, including in Lorraine and priests. And priests aren't, they're not ready, really ready to say that something supernatural is happening because supernatural doesn't really exist, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, the fact
they're
that.
They're there to exorcise the house. Okay.
That many people seeing it levitate on its own, how? I believe that. So, and it actually levitated once while David was sitting in it during an exorcism. After the final exorcism, the demon actually left David. He soon began to show signs of improvement. However, his sister's fiance, Arnie Johnson, was not so lucky. Apparently, the demon left David and entered him. He started making the same kind of growls and hisses that David had made, as well as slipping into trances for a period of months before killing his landlord, Alan Bono. Yep. He used a 5-inch pocket knife, stabbed the man over and over as Debbie watched. She couldn't stop him. He was literally a man possessed.
Yeah.
Bono died a few hours later, like in hospital. They couldn't save him. And Johnson was picked up by the police 2 miles from the murder scene. He had no idea how he got there. He was just covered in blood, didn't know what happened. All right. 8 months later, Arnie appeared in court. and plantain to a plea of not guilty due to demonic possession.
Oh, yeah, we studied that at law school. Yeah, that's definitely a defense. Absolutely.
Well, this is for the first time in American legal history, demonic possession was used as a reason for murder. It didn't work.
Surprise!
Judge Robert Callahan refused to accept the plea since there was no evidence to show that Johnson was possessed.
Not that possessions were bullshit.
Yeah.
Just that there was no evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the judge has got to be impartial. Like, he's got to say, okay, well, you haven't given me all the facts. So the fact that, you know, you haven't given me all the facts, I'm not going to say you're wrong. I'm just going to say you're not proved it right. So Arnie was actually sent to prison for his crime. He was found guilty of first degree manslaughter and received a 10 to 20 year sentence. He served 5. Arnie and Debbie married after he was released. For many years after the horrifying events of 1980, the rocking chair remained in storage. When the Glatzel family later moved, it went with them. However, over time, it became apparent that there was something very wrong with the chair still. Whoever sat in the chair, whether innocently or because they knew of its strange history, were suddenly stricken with incapacitating sciatica or abnormal back problems. Some were so bad they required surgery just from sitting in it once.
It could just be a really uncomfortable rocking chair.
I was going to say, I just think it wasn't made right, mate.
Fuck. I mean, I have a chair that's exactly like that. I'll sit in it and then 2 seconds later I'm like, oh, my God, I can't move my back. My back's gone. A few more cushions for back support.
Sarah has chair. Devil's chair.
You know what? It probably looks like the devil's chair too.
Probably.
Old corduroy, brown.
Yeah, actually, I will put pictures on the blog. I don't have any pictures in here for you guys at the moment, but yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, one of the close family members was unable to walk upright for 10 years after testing the legend of the chair. 10 years.
Still, no one set it on fire.
No.
I'm surprised.
No.
Or decided to add a few more cushions to it.
Yeah that also could have worked.
Yeah, no one altered the chair at all. I think everyone was very scared of it. So today, the Devil's Rocking Chair is at the Haunted Museum in America. There are stains on the original cushion from holy water and blessed oils that were used as part of the exorcisms conducted by Catholic priest Anne Ed Warren. An evil presence surrounds it, and even before it was on display, it was already causing problems in the building. Soon after it arrived, doors of the museum began shutting themselves and locking, light switches physically turned off, and it created a terrible tension between staff members in the area where the chair was stored. The shipper who picked up the rocking chair from the Glatzel house, and he said that he was plagued by terrible nightmares after coming into contact with it. Like other cursed items at the Haunted Museum, the Devil's Rocking Chair will be safely displayed so that it creates the least amount of havoc in the building. Even so, there remains the chance that the menacing aura that surrounds it will have an effect on those who are brave enough to visit.
So can you sit in it when you're there?
No. Okay. Yeah.
Can't touch it.
No,
because they don't want to have to call in ambulances to help, you know, cart people out because they sat in it for 2 seconds and now they can't walk.
Yeah. So there is a movie. So The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, that came out in 2020. I haven't seen it yet. So, yeah.
It was good. I enjoyed it.
There we go. That's me. Sarah, can you please tell us about The Devil's Tree?
So, yes. I'm doing the Devil's Tree because I was assigned.
Yep.
And I'd actually never heard of it until a couple of days ago, to be honest.
I'd never heard of it.
Yeah. So the Devil's Tree is a solitary oak tree with some dead limbs growing in an undeveloped field on Mountain Road in Martinsville section of Barnard Township in Somerset County in New Jersey.
Yep.
In America. Okay.
In United States, yeah. So it's basically a dead tree in a field. in Jersey.
Cool.
New Jersey, yep. So it's across from private housing development, and local legend suggests that the tree is cursed. Those who damage or disrespect the tree, usually by peeing on it.
As you do, you pull over and you're like, yeah, I need to pee, so I'll pee on that tree. Yeah.
Yep. Or, you know, making disparaging remarks whilst near the tree. Don't insult the tree whilst standing near the tree. It doesn't like it. It's just rude.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they soon thereafter come into some sort of harm, often in the form of a car accident or major breakdown as they leave. Various legends surround this tree. A common claim is that the Barnard Township was one of the central headquarters for the KKK in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And that the tree has been used to lynch a lot of African and rebellious slaves since colonial times. Another claims that a farmer had actually hung himself from that tree after killing his family.
Yeah.
And anyone trying to cut down the tree will come to an untimely end. So I read that someone had actually tried to find this farmer, and no one could find any information about a farmer ever doing this.
Okay.
So KKK sounds more viable than anything. So,
well, there'll be no records of that either. So there's no way to prove that actually happened or didn't happen. So,
yeah. So other legends surrounding the tree allege that visitors who get too close to the tree will get chased by a black Ford pickup truck that will then disappear at a certain point. Or anyone that touches the tree will find their hands have turned black if they try to eat at a restaurant.
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going. I'll reserve my questions.
So in the winter, the ground beneath the tree is alleged, it's allegedly free from snow. So there will be a ring of fucking snow around this tree, but nothing that will touch come anywhere near the tree. So no matter how much has fallen, it's always clear. And apparently there is a boulder nearby that's called Heat Rock because it's hot, clearly.
You're not going to call it Heat Rock if it's fucking cold, are they?
Exactly. Maybe slightly warmish rock. But who knows? And, so sometimes the tree itself is said to be warm to the touch, regardless of the season or time of the day.
Could be a natural hot spring running underneath.
Likely.
That's what I thought. There's some sort of, volcanic fucking action happening under there. So it is actually claimed to be a portal to hell.
Of course. That's the logical explanation, of course. Yeah.
So the township plans to develop the land where the tree is located, and they might have to remove it. So they were going to remove it. But, a lot of the town decided to protect the tree and keep it intact because they're scared that, they were going to open up the portal to hell.
Right.
Yeah. So in 2007, a sign was posted at the site stating, "When it is open to the public." The devil tree is also been surrounded by a chain link fence. Now, when I say surrounded, I mean they literally wrapped it around the tree.
Right.
Yeah. Just to protect from vandalism. Yeah.
Okay.
That just doesn't sound right, but okay, sure.
Yeah. So that's pretty much all the information I could find on the tree.
Really? What about the guy who raped all those girls?
Nah. From what I found, I didn't find anything.
And the guy who tried to chop it down and the head of the axe and stuff flew off.
See, I didn't find that story. But I did find a couple of other stories, which I shall read.
They tried to burn it down, but the fire just went out.
No, the websites that I went on. But then again, I kind of did this at last minute, so.
Hey. It could be several devil's trees. We don't know.
Actually, there is. There was one on the other side of America as well.
Oh, maybe it's a different one then. The one that my daughter want us to cover this. So this, yeah,
this one did look like it had been burnt. I will admit that. So it could be the same.
It looks like, because it's been burnt, but the fire went out and it's still burnt to this day. Like, and it was tried to be burnt many, many years ago, and it's still, like nothing, the rain and stuff hasn't washed away any of the burnt. No. It's weird.
This tree is quite definitely dead looking at it, so.
I feel like I have to grab my daughter and be like, come tell a story.
When she gives us topic suggestions, she needs to be real specific.
Yeah. I'm just going to do whatever and then go, yep, that's good enough because I'm tired. So
Devil's Tree's, like, it's not very specific either. Like, I mean, there could be lots of these stories floating around, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
If you have a Devil's Tree story, please hit us up at FridayNightMindFight@gmail.com.
Yeah.
So I'll go on to telling just a couple of little stories that people have posted. So Melissa C, she had written, my friend and I went to the Devil's Tree one night. This is not how she talks. I'm just assuming it is. And got out of the car and touched the tree. Afterwards, we went to Applebee's to get something to eat, and everyone that was sitting at the table had all of our hands turned black. We don't know why, but it took us 2.5 hours to get the blackness off our hands. Well, look, if you're touching a tree that has been burnt and is dirty because, you know, it's a fucking tree, your hands are going to be black. Probably got sap or something on it that's made it sticky. Just saying.
Yep.
So this one was done by a guy named Anonymous.
I love that guy. He debunks shit. Yeah.
Yeah, so I love Anonymous.
Anonymous.
And he actually didn't debunk it, I don't believe. It was just the story that he had. So he's written, I'm reminded of an incident which occurred about 8 years back. I can't remember whereabouts this was actually written. I think this was also an article from 2015. But, yeah, so it happened about 8 years back when I was in high school concerning the Devil's Tree. We had all heard the legend of the infamous spot and there was much talk about it around my school. One night my friends and I decided to pay a visit to see for ourselves how true the legends were. We headed out and came upon the tree. We all began to get a bad feeling and decided to scrap the idea. Which, really smart. You get that gut instinct, you go, yeah, let's just not. So they turned around and left without incident. About a week or so later, the talk of the tree began to escalate and one of the kids in the popular crowd began saying it was a bunch of bullshit. A few days later, his mind would change forever. So this guy and his carload of other rowdy teenagers decided to go up to the tree for the weekend. And they began their journey up the mountain to see what it was all about. A friend of mine was in the car and his story is as followed. This is very long. I'm sorry. Apparently, after cruising back and forth several times, yes, several times, you can't just go fucking straight there. The kids were getting a very bad vibe and wanted to leave. The kid who was driving and the one who was proclaiming at the school that it was a whole bunch of bullshit became angry and called them all wimps. He stated to his friends that he was going to prove once and for all that the story was nothing and that he wasn't fazed by it. He pulled the car over to the side of the road right before the bend and got out. Marching up to the tree, he began yelling challenges to the so-called spirits. I'm sorry. During this, I'm just picturing this guy standing there in, like, a sports jacket just abusing a tree in the middle of fucking nowhere. Amazing. So nothing else happened. So to further prove his fearlessness, he pulled down his pants and urinated over the base of the tree. Still nothing happened. He muttered, I told you so, and got back in the car. After starting the car, he began to drive towards the bend in the road slowly. Suddenly, without warning, the gas pedal of the car became floored, and the car sped off by itself. Surprised at what was happening, the guys were unable to control the car, and it skidded out and collided into a tree. The kids in the car sustained minor injuries, but the car was totaled. So the guy who, Mr. Anonymous, who was telling this story, said he showed the story of the Devil's Tree featured in this magazine that he was reading to his sister. And as he read the tale about how the Ford pickup with the headlights, she became very pale. And then he asked her what was wrong, and she replied, "Oh my God, I went up to the tree about a year ago and got chased by the same black pickup truck. It was severely tailgating me, and when I got a short distance away, the lights just suddenly vanished. And then since then, she had never gone back, him or his sister." So, yeah.
I just went and tried to get my daughter to come on and talk about the stories that she found about it. And she's like, "No, I don't want to talk."
Well, then if you're gonna give us assignments, you have to be more specific.
Yeah, be more specific.
I know, because I wanted the story out of it. And rape's never good to hear about, but I wanted the story about the guy who raped the girls and he strung them up in the tree. Because she tells it better because she knows all the details. Yeah.
It might have to be another
There was
episode.
Another story about a guy who saw a noose one night. I think it was like raining, and he was driving past and he saw a noose hanging from the tree with what looked like dead bodies. But it turned out those dead bodies were actually just like scarecrow bodies that the local football team had made of their rivals. Rival school's team.
I love that.
Actually
so
hung it there.
Dark. That's poop stock.
Okay. I am going to throw over to my daughter Friday Night Wi-Fi. Welcome, Hazel. Here we go.
All right. Hi.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Getting nicely close.
How are you? Yes.
I'm good. Thank
you.
I miss you too. So from what I remember hearing / reading about the Devil's Tree, there might be multiple. So, yes, this one in particular, way back, I'm pretty sure 1960s, somewhere around there, three young ladies were victim of rape, which is quite horrible, and they were strung up at the tree, at one of the Devil's Trees, which is just horrible. He was caught and was imprisoned, and yeah, that's one of the stories that went with the tree. Same with this man tried to cut down the tree, the axe head broke off and hit him in the head, killing him instantly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. A priest tried to more or less bless the tree, and he had nightmares ever since then. Yes. Yeah. So
when Devil's he tried trees to, might yes. be a thing. We'll have to actually go into a little bit more, I feel.
Yeah, I've just had a look, and I think it's Florida's first serial killer.
Yes.
The story of the Devil's Tree. Yeah, so that one was down in Florida.
Ah, okay, yeah. Yeah, no, it's very interesting. Funny, I've heard it on TikTok and also searched it up myself, so, yeah.
There you go. Thanks, Hayes, for coming on and telling us that one. We will have to
look
into Devil's Trees more,
You can close us out if you like.
All right. had so much fun researching this topic as I did with the other topics over the last few weeks. However, we would love some topic suggestions from our listeners. If you have a topic which you would like us to discuss, email us at FridayNightWineFight@gmail.com.
Or hit us up on our socials, Tumblr, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook.
Yeah. All right. I'll pass you on back to Bianca.
Thank you, baby.
Hey. Awesome.
All right, Sarah, do you want to finish us off?
Yeah. So to everyone who has listened to this, we would like to thank each and every one of you for your time and listening to our utter rubbish. And we hope that you have found it entertaining and are not using any of the facts discussed in this recording to make important life decisions, unless it is in relation to staying away from devil's trees, buying cursed dolls,
setting fire to rocking chairs,
or driving around in, you know, cars that have parts from possessed cars. Unless, of course, you have your protection chainsaw with you, and then go for it.
Yep.
Yeah. So, all right. Night.
Bye. Bye.